So Andrew had been sending messages saying Matthew's sick and everything, but in each one it was like, well, he seems to be doing better. And so I wasn't taking it too seriously and had a call with him Friday night and realized that, oh, he's actually pretty sick. And she's actually pretty worried and just not showing it. And so getting those text messages then Saturday morning saying, oh, he's a lot better. It was just an exciting answer to prayer. And grateful that you all joined in that in praying for him. And it was also, Levi and Angie were also been waiting on their baby. And so that was happening also during the night. And I know there are people praying for that as well. And it was, for Alicia and I, it was exciting to see those answers to prayer happen. This morning, I want to look some at John chapter 4. There's a story there of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. And eventually I want to try getting around to talking about worship from there, and specifically there in verse 24, there's a verse, God is spirit, and those people who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So that's where I want to end up at, but I will want to see what we can learn from this woman at the well regarding worship. So we did just spend some time singing. So is that the worship of God? And I believe it, yes, it is worship, and we can worship God in that way. And is that the, trust that that's not the only way we can worship God, is coming here on Sunday morning and singing songs together. And after I'm done talking, we'll go and divide up into our Sunday school classes and study the Bible and study a passage in the Bible and try to learn from it. And think it's possible also to look at that exercise or that study as worship. And yet it can also just be a intellectual exercise. But we have this story here. So Jesus is going through Samaria and is resting there by the well. I'm not going to read all of the story. It's familiar to us. So he's sitting at the well resting, and the woman from Samaria comes to draw water. And there's the interaction, the back and forth, where Jesus asks her for water, and she says, oh, well, why are you asking me for a water? I'm a Samaritan. And Jesus offers her this, there in verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman completely misses what Jesus is saying, which is not going to be too hard on her on that, but it does, she likes the idea of not having to come draw water, but she doesn't quite get what Jesus is trying to tell her. And so, moving on, Jesus, there in verse 16, Jesus really cuts deep for her. He says, well, go call her husband. And she's like, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, well, no, you don't, but you've had five husbands, and now who you're with is not your husband. There's that little interaction. And then after that, she really changes the subject. It's like, oh, you must be a prophet. And goes on to ask the question there in verse 20, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Really kind of wants to change the subject, seems like, and ask some question of this man that she perceives as a prophet. Now you have Jesus' response to that, starting verse 21. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. So first off, the thing I want to mention is Jesus is directing that question away from the where. It's not where we worship. That's not that not the thing to focus on. And then he, so that's the one thing I mentioned. We're not, this is not a place, yes, this is a place of worship. This is not the only place of worship. This is not, let's not wait to come to worship until we're here gathered together this way. And then he goes on, yeah. There in verse 23, the hour is coming and now is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. So what does it mean for us to worship the Father in spirit and in truth? So there's, you have the Spirit. What is, you know, that feels like something that's coming from inside of us. It's an internal worship from our spirit. I feel like I'm being really vague, but I feel like I barely understand it myself enough to know how to. But it is something. It's something from inside us. And yet, if all we have is that a thing of praising God and coming and having this emotional experience, then there's also something missing. If we're all about just emotions and the feeling that we get when we worship God, then it's only part of the picture. And he balances that with spirit and truth. If we aren't worshiping, if we don't know what we're worshiping, then we're also missing something. So we have our time of, basically I'm going to say what we're doing is perfect, because we have our time of singing and then we study, go into Sunday school, and that's not quite what I mean to say. But I do appreciate the balance in that I'm glad to know that we as a church here we want to study the Bible. We want to know what it teaches and to have the truth, and also have the time of coming to God in spirit or in song and prayer and approaching a time of worship in that way. And yet, having just the two exercises, though, of a time of worship and a time of studying the Bible, is something that hopefully can lead us toward a worship of God, but God still does need to work in our own hearts, and we do ourselves need to come to that place of worship. So, together, once again, the word spirit and truth means we needs to, real worship comes from the spirit within, from our hearts, but is also based on a true view of God. So this worship must have heart, and it also must have head. It's not a one or the other thing. If all we have, though, is the intellectual study and all the facts of the Bible, and it's a, it can become a rote, just a dead religion, a dead practice. So we do need to have the emotion. And yet, if all we have is the emotion and the feelings and the warm fuzzies of good singing and a great time of praise, then we're also missing the other side of knowing who Christ is and knowing what he's done in our hearts. So I feel like now at this point I have just said, well, here's how we need to do it, and yet I'm not quite sure how do we then go into a time of worship. We have just a few minutes here yet, and I'd like to take a time of pausing where we can reflect in our own hearts. How are we coming to Christ this morning? As we've just come through a time of singing a few songs, and maybe all that did was wake us up and make us realize we're in church. And here soon we're coming into, we'll go into Sunday school, a time to study the Word. So let's pause, reflect, think about what Christ is doing maybe in our hearts this morning, and continue to prepare ourselves for worship of him throughout the rest of the service. I'll lead in prayer here in just a few minutes, so I'll give you a few minutes to to reflect and pray. Let's pray. God, thank you for being with us this morning and for your presence. I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts throughout the service, that you would cause us to grow and to become more like you. Thank you for the story that we have here in the Bible. I pray that we could remember your words, and we're grateful that you have come to earth, that you died for us. Be with the rest of the service. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.